Ho, ho, ho. It's our annual Slay Days sale, and I am so excited. Starting November 24th and running through December 1st. All the gear at RoleModelsWanted.com is 25% off. That's R-O-L-L, role like jujitsu, obviously, RoleModelsWanted.com. You can use the code SLAYDAYS25 for 25% off all of the gear on the site. That's sleigh as in Santa sleigh, SLEIGHDAYS 25. That gets you 25% off all the gear on the site. Looking to come to one of our camps? We've got our passing camp, April 24th through the 26th, and our indie base camp, which is our women's only grappling camp in July, July 10th through the 12th. And during this sale, November 24th through December 1st, you can get $75 off camp. Use the code NICELIST75 for $75 off of either or both of those camps. Again, NICELIST75, because obviously you are on the nice list.
What do you do when new people show up to class? Welcome to Beauty and the Gi, the podcast about jiu-jitsu and so much more. I'm Jen Eads, a purple belt full of curiosity and questions about jiu-jitsu and so much more.
And I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt obsessed with jiu-jitsu.
You've been on a mission since your birthday to get more people into the door to do jiu-jitsu, which I love. I think that is a fantastic mission.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk about that and then what to do when the new people show up.
Yeah. So how this kind of started was, you know, students would ask me like, what do you want for your birthday? And I'm like, I don't really want anything specific. You know, like I don't want anything. I'm granted, gifts are one of my love languages. Bring me a sticker. I'm so happy.
But bring me a student.
Right. Bring me a student. Yeah. Even better. Yeah. So that's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, you know what I want is like more people like the people we have. So we set a goal for 46 students in 46 days because I'm turning 46. Well, I turned 46. One of our students, Megan, made a birthday cake, like a drawing of a birthday cake, and we put it on the board. And for every student that comes in or potential student, we color the candle in. And then if they sign up, we light the candle. So it's just been kind of fun for like everybody to participate. We're also doing like some extra referral contests and stuff like that to kind of entice it.
And how many people?
So far we've had 31 people come in.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah, yeah. So we are, I think, 35 days into the challenge. So that's, we're doing pretty good. We're almost one for one.
Yeah.
It's going pretty well. I'm very pleased. I didn't think, you know, like I didn't think we would get that. Like I just didn't expect that it would grow so quickly. But
do we need to manage your expectations? Because really that's what this podcast is about now.
In the opposite way, I guess, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, like, I guess the same way. It's going better than I really thought it would. I mean, it was our goal, but it still was.
It's a stretch.
It's a stretch.
Good to have a stretch goal.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there's been new people on the mat every night. And usually there's a couple new people, you know, but like a new person in class every night has been a different challenge for some of the students. And so I thought we'd kind of talk about that.
Okay. Where should we start this?
Here's the thing. We've talked many times about like you're going to start jiu-jitsu or start in a new gym, you know, like what to look for, what to expect, like those kind of things. We've done it from the new student's perspective several times, but we've never done it from the current student's perspective and like how to grow that.
Right.
So like first, why? Why should you change your behavior in any way? Or do something special because a new student comes in. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? Like, why should you?
Well, ultimately, we benefit from having new people come in.
That's where I wanted to start. Like, you benefit from it because, like, one, it's the rising tide, right? Like, you want more training partners.
Yeah.
I think you also want your gym to be successful, right?
Like, right.
The only way the gym doors stay open is if we're bringing in new students, if we're keeping those students.
Right.
You know, and some gyms have like sales stuff and things like that that help supplement keeping the doors open and the roof over our heads and all of that. So like those are the reasons you want to do these things or don't want to do the don'ts later. Right. But yeah, like introduce yourself. Even as an introvert, maybe like, you know, just say hi, you know, like just to, you know.
It's basic.
Exactly, right? Like introduce yourself, say your name. We do grip fighting at the beginning of most classes. So like maybe you grab the person for grip fighting and kind of teach them a couple things and introduce yourself then, okay? Or like during warmups, show them how to warm up. Okay, grab them, show them how to shrimp. It's the weirdest thing you're going to do. So show them how to do it and, you know, make some jokes about how, I'm not saying like you have to do this in order, but, you know, like just make it light. Like, yeah. Like I know this is weird, but I promise it'll help. Other things I had was like, you know, drill with them. Choose mm-hmm. them as a drilling partner. If you have like your main drilling partner and you never give that person up, triple with them. You know, yeah. Like I think especially if you're doing chokes or something that first night or something really hard.
Yeah.
Tripling can be really good because they don't have to feel it over and over. You could let them feel it once or twice, you know, but let them do the move more.
Mm-hmm.
We also do something called the guard game. So once rolling starts, and I think we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast before, but once rolling starts, I sit out with the person first round and I explain, you know, like just watch these couple people. Don't watch the whole room. It gets chaotic. It gets overwhelming. Like just try to watch these two and try to decide like, does it look like this person has the upper hand? Does it look like this person does? What does it look like this person's trying to do? That kind of thing. And then I myself or I choose a higher rank safe person to play the guard game with someone. And that's basically like the person who knows jujitsu is going to stay in guard the whole time, open guard, not closed. They don't know how to break guard yet. And as the person on my butt, it's my job to sweep them, but I'll say it's my job to knock you over and your job to check your base. Okay. You try to keep getting up. And then I'll say, it's your job to get it out from around my legs. So get around my legs, come around to my side, or sit on top of me, okay? Every time you come around to the side or get to the top, you win, we'll start over. Every time I knock you over, if you don't fight to get back up, we'll start back over, okay? And that way they don't have to worry about getting smashed, okay? So I'm not sweeping them. I mean, you know, I am, but I'm not like coming up and smashing them. And then I'll have to get worried. They don't have to worry about getting submitted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good way to start with the contact of jujitsu without as much fear.
Yeah.
I also usually tell them they should start like on their knees or, you know, like in that combat position, not on their feet, because the higher they are, the further they have to fall.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the guard game can be very helpful. It's also great for the person playing guard, like it really helps.
I love the guard game.
I do too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have just you guys do it, you mm-hmm. know, like without a new person in, because I think it's really, really good for guard retention. And when you're doing it with the brand new person, you don't always have to use your hands. But when you do it with each other, you really have to go like hands on and use all your body parts. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, I love the guard game.
I do too.
So yeah, I talked really fast, but those are some of my do's.
Okay.
And I think you're right. Like, if you choose to roll with them, maybe don't be so aggressive in your rounds.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think like, oh, wait, we'll save that for the don'ts.
Okay.
That's a don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I went negative immediately.
Do you have any other thoughts of like what to do?
Be friendly.
Yeah.
Just make them feel welcome and want to come back. And I think just be encouraging.
Yeah. I think I have one from the coach's standpoint, and that is know why they came in. Like, what's their why? I have an example for myself. We had a new couple come in, like 20 and 21 years old, very young. Well, very young for me.
Right.
And that's important because their maturity level was very mature. But what I was teaching that night was baseball bat chokes. Very chaotic, okay? That is a move where you're giving up position most of the time to get the submission. And afterwards, the guy called me and he was like, you know, I don't know that we want to continue because we're really looking for something more self-defense based. And I was first surprised that he called. But that's very helpful for me, mm-hmm. For him to talk through like what the issue was, like why he didn't think they wanted to continue. And had I known that that was what they were in it for, I wouldn't have changed the class. Like I already had the schedule. I'd already promoted it to you guys. Mm-hmm. Baseball bat chokes. We're going to have fun on Tuesday, whatever day it was. But I would have talked more about self-defense in different places, right? Even saying, you know, if this were self-defense, I wouldn't do this. Or, you know, like what guard is. And I usually do that. Like when I'm in guard, if this were a self-defense scenario, the person on their knees thinks they're in charge. I know that I am. From this position, I can break their arm, I can choke them unconscious, or I can flip them over. You can tell I've said it a million times, mm-hmm. right? So I usually like just sprinkle that in so that they have that frame of reference. And, you know, the guy was talking about like it felt very competition-based. Well, we're preparing for a competition. So that is a lot of what I'm saying right now is yeah. like, this is your kind of go for broke move. Or I was telling stories about different people hitting it in tournaments. So I was talking a lot of tournament because that's where the mindset of the overall student base is right now. But most people don't walk in the door thinking they want competition. Mm-hmm. They walk in the door thinking they want self-defense. And the reason I say thinking so strong is because what usually makes people stay is not that thing, right?
Right.
But had I known that was specifically what they were in for, I would have not changed the course of my class necessarily, but added it in more of what I was saying.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then their partner could too. You know, if they're drilling with blue belts, the partner could say, you know, like, I wouldn't do this if I were in a street fight, but if, you know, yeah. whatever. So
I like that.
Yeah. Any other thoughts of do's?
Of do's. No, just be a little ray of sunshine. Like me.
Yes, exactly. All right, so let's move into some of the don'ts. What did you want to say of like, don't do this with a new person?
Don't overwhelm them with do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. It's, I mean, I feel like I still get overwhelmed sometimes. Yeah. Let them just like, let them have fun and kind of, it's almost like fishing. Like you've got them on the hook. You just gently reel them
gently,
in. Yes. Gently reel them in so that they want to come, like give them a reason to want to come back.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think it's, and as I've switched back to do's, but like just giving them like a little win or some encouragement when they do something really well, like, oh, that was great.
Yep. Yeah. When I'm playing the guard game with them, I'm not maintaining my guard the whole time. I'm a black belt. I can, you know, like, yeah, I can. I want to make it difficult for them. I want them to be like, oh my gosh, this is so much harder than I thought.
Yeah.
But I'm going to like kind of take them through. Okay. You can go over, under, or around, like choose one of those. And then I kind of walk them through. I'm like, good job. And then I say, my job is to make it harder and harder for you.
Yeah.
Right. So each time it's going to get a little bit harder. But every time they pass my guard, I'm like, yeah, that was perfect. Good job. Because if they're doing the correctest things, I'm going to let them have it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might have to help them manage their expectations a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think just don't be like, you got to do this and you got to do that. Because it's so easy to get overwhelmed and just be like, oh, that's a lot.
I don't remember who they are, but somebody says like, you should never correct someone three times or more than three times, right? So like, if you have something wrong, if you're like, your hands are backwards or whatever, like correct them a time or two, but just move on. Let it happen. They're never going to remember what they learned the first day. Like they might remember the name of it, but they're not going to remember all the details anyway. Like you can correct them a couple times, but after that, just let them go. So long as they're not hurting anyone, let them go.
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah.
What else do we not do?
Okay. We don't.
I feel like you've got a list there.
I do. I have murder them, which goes along with the, you know, not being too aggressive.
Yeah.
Even just in like grip fighting, right? Like making sure that you're not throwing them around or like pulling super hard, like just ease through it. You know, think about like, okay, you get your grip. Think about it like a flow roll with somebody who doesn't know anything about jiu-jitsu. Yeah.
That's a really good way to frame that. Yeah.
Obviously, don't ignore them, right? Like you never want somebody to come in and feel like they're a burden or like they don't belong. You want to at least smile at them. If you're an introvert, just maybe a smile, maybe a head nod. Like, I'm not trying to push you too far, but like, don't ignore them. Make them feel comfortable in some way. Don't tell them horror stories.
Halloween is done.
Yeah.
We're past that.
So, you know, I don't want you to say things like, all right, let's back up a little bit. When we started this podcast, my goal was to help people get started with jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. That was the main reason I wanted to do the podcast. Mm-hmm. I wanted someone to hear the podcast and think, I can do that and I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I want you to think that same thought with somebody that comes in the door. You can do it and you want to do it, okay? So if their body doesn't have the ability to do something, start telling them that's the beauty of jiu-jitsu. It's very adaptable. If you come in and you're like, oh, I'm concerned about my neck, I'm gonna tell you the story about Rye, who never got choked because they had a bad neck. They came in with a bad neck. So none of us choked Rye. If we were drilling, we'd all triple up and never choke them, okay? So I'm gonna say that jiu-jitsu is very adaptable. You'll be able to do what you're comfortable with.
I just always thought I got stuck in Rye's spider guard. And I just never did.
Never got the chance. But, you know, if somebody gets hurt on the mat, and usually, like, if somebody gets hurt, it's more of like a tweak than an injury, right? Not to downplay it, but like, that's true, mm-hmm. right? You yeah. might be like, ooh, that hurt. I'm okay. You know, like, yeah. go on. And so don't tell them, like, it's very likely you're going to get injured in jiu-jitsu. Like, that's part of it. Nobody wants to hear that the first day. Nobody no. comes in. We never come in thinking, well, I'm going to get hurt today.
No.
Okay. You never think like that. Okay. Have I gotten hurt doing jiu-jitsu? Sometimes. Have I gotten hurt walking down the sidewalk? Far more often.
I just did that on vacation.
Yeah. You can I tell the story that you
sure.
you did that before you started jiu-jitsu?
Oh yeah, I did.
Walking in the door.
There was ice.
It was our first day. I felt so bad. I thought there's no way she's coming back, but here we are.
And you know what?
7 years later.
I learned how to break fall.
That's, yeah.
Super helpful if you're a little klutz out in the world.
Yes, and I am. I'm such a klutz out in the world. I get hurt far more just living my life than I do in jiu-jitsu.
Like when I reach up to a shelf.
And overextend.
And overextend. It happens.
Yeah. Sleep wrong, you know, like. I also would rather get tweaked or hurt or whatever, doing something active yeah. than because I sat on the couch too long.
Right, which is going to make you that much more likely
yep.
to do something when you actually do decide to get up off the couch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, don't tell them horror stories. I will admit that same day about the baseball bat chokes, I told a couple going unconscious stories, right? Because that was my game plan in one Master Worlds tournament. Pull guard, set up my grips, let her pass, get the baseball bat choke. And it went perfectly. Everything went exactly according to plan. She had my back, but she doesn't have points because I'm choking her. Okay. And she goes limp. I let go. She was not unconscious. She then chokes me unconscious. And I tell that story. I tell a couple others. And probably not the kind of stories you should tell somebody on their first day. So then if I am going to do that, because the other class deserves to hear these funny stories.
Right. That is a great story.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed of it. I was so proud that I got my game plan exactly how I wanted it. But, you know, it just didn't go that well. I was like a blue belt. It's fine. But if I'm going to tell those stories, I also need to say it's very rare for someone to go unconscious in class. Okay? Because we tap. So when you start to feel that fade to black or that choking, you tap, we let go, everything's cool. And I used to say, when it was the old school, that you'll see the higher rank go unconscious more often because they are pushing to see how far they can go through that half fade to black, okay? I think that happens less with our high rank now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very seldom. I don't know the last time someone went unconscious in class.
Yeah.
Where like the old gym I had, it was a few times a night. So you'd have to give that talk. Gosh.
That's why I stayed up north.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like tapping can be an ego thing, right?
So, yeah. But not for this girl.
Exactly. But yeah, so I think not telling them horror stories can be very important.
That's a good call.
And letting them know, like if something happens, you're like, that actually is rare. Like it's not very often that something like that is going to happen.
Well, and I think also telling them tap early, tap often, especially when you're starting, because your body's not used to this movement. And sometimes it's just scary.
Yeah. And, you know, like just that moment you feel a little bit of discomfort, go ahead and tap.
Yeah.
Like there's no ego here. There shouldn't be ego at your gym. Like not like that. I'd rather you live to train another day.
Exactly. We want those new people coming back so that they become old people.
Yeah. So we can have new friends, new training partners. Like that's what keeps a school healthy, both from the financial aspect and from the mat aspect. Like being able to have new training partners and build new friends and all of that. That's exactly what we all want.
Yeah, because I think it helps the more people you can train with a different game, or maybe that are not so locked into their game, but they're like, oh, I should try this and I should try that because they don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yay. That's good for us.
Yeah. It's really good for us. It's really good. We have a new kid that's 17 and done a lot of YouTube jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Okay. Very, very, he's a big, strong boy and he's very eager. So that is the word I use before one of our students rolls with him so that they know he's coming. Like he's not going to be like slap bump. Oh, what should I do? He's coming in hot. Mm-hmm. So be prepared to protect yourself with that. And, you know, like last night I was a little worried, you know, like he's rolling with all these people and he's rolling with, you know, our blue belts, whatever, or purple belts. But I was like, nobody's going to want to roll with him because he looks crazy. He's wild. And everybody was like, actually, he was a really fun roll. Like he never tried to rip submissions. He was like, he was fun. He was, you know, so I'm glad that our people are really trying to embrace him, even if it seems like he could be scary for, you know, like, because you don't want to get kicked in the face or kneed in the head or whatever. But
yeah,
those were my thoughts. I don't think I have any others. You have any other thoughts?
No, I'm all thoughted out.
Great. All worded out too.
So I'm making room for class. New thoughts can come in.
New thoughts for Side Control Month.
Oh, that's really good for me. As much as I hate Side Control, that's going to be really good for me.
Well, and it'll be good because, you know, you'll be able to focus on what your Side Control techniques look like. And I strongly believe if you know how to do something, you know the beginnings of how to get out of it. Like, what are they trying to do to me? I'm going to do the opposite. That's why I say I'm full of no. And we'll spend part of the month also defending Side Control stuff and escaping Side Control. So it'll be good.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. I do want to hear from our friends, though. What are your do's and don'ts? What's worked well? Is there something specific that you do at your gym when you get new students in to keep them coming back? Share those with us. You can leave a comment if you are watching or listening in Spotify or on YouTube. You can always DM us. We're hanging out on Instagram at Beauty and the Gee Podcast. I'm also there full of shenanigans at Brassy Broad Jen on Instagram and the TikTok.
And I'm AJ Klingerman everywhere you go, including TikTok.
All right, friends. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you
on the mat. Beauty and the Gee is a production of the Brassy Broadcasting Company.
And brought to you by Role Model Grappling. One of these days, I'm going to remember that.
Yeah. I was like, no.
Today's not that day.